Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Until we reach Mercury, girl. Tell me, are you ready, girl, to take a trip out of this world? I guarantee you'll like it. It'll take your breath away. Gonna get you so excited once I taste your Milky Way. Girl, spin the
yeah. R. Kelly's gonna have plenty of time to craft those double entendres if he ends up behind bars. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In the next 60 minutes, music's biggest villains. Banjo meets Chinese folk in the songs of Abigail Washburn, and four new albums you simply must download. To begin, as the self-proclaimed Pied Piper of R&B begins his child porn trial in Chicago this week, R. Kelly has another dubious distinction to grapple with. He's made it onto Blender Magazine's list of music's 25 most dastardly villains. Of course, everyone knows the music business has its share of freeloaders and shady characters, but along with R. Kelly, there are greedy agents, skeevy spiritual advisors, major divas, and deranged fans. Here to take us through music's rottenest apples is Mike Errico, editor of Blender.com. Mike, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with some of the artists themselves, and at number 25, under the heading Feeling on Your Underage Booty, is the aforementioned R. Kelly. Now, he hasn't been convicted of anything, so what's he doing on this list?
I'm looking at that already. I'm thinking you're allegedly feeling on your underage booty. It is an ongoing trial. It is a child pornography trial. We are live blogging it, actually, on Blender.com. There's a lot to suggest that he belongs on this list. Let's put it that way. There's a damning video. There is damning testimony. And there are a lot of fans outside who think he did not do it and would certainly accept an offer for dinner.
And then there's also the whole thing with the singer Aaliyah, who, you know, when she was 15, did they get married? Did they not get married? They were not just holding hands.
That's... Yes. And her, of course, her hilarious album entitled Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
Now,
true? I don't know about that anymore.
So, I mean, R. Kelly is known for songs like Bump and Grind and Your Body's Calling. You know, can they trot these lyrics out during the course of his trial? I mean, is this going to help his cause?
I don't know. Personally, I don't think so. I don't think so, but, you know, crazier things have happened.
All right. Now, speaking of helping the cause, I mean, the music industry is in a downturn. It's been much maligned in the press, and we've covered, you know, downturns in sales and, you know, industry racked with internal dissent and strife. Who are you guys helping with this list of the 25 greatest villains in music?
Well, first of all, we were not involved in any of the actions that are on this list. So I think we are pretty much exonerated. We're not 26 either, I would say. The fact that these things occurred, or as in the case of R. Kelly, allegedly occurred, is for us to report.
Okay. At number 13 on your list of the 25 most dastardly villains, you have Diana Ross.
Yeah. I think Diana gets the nod, as we say, simply for being pretty much who she is. I mean, I think we pretty much say that. I mean, can you imagine being in a band with this ego, with this person, and with the things that she did actually to her fellow Supremes?
To say nothing of that flight attendant at Heathrow Airport a few years back.
Oh, yeah. I'd say her story is not yet written. She might be 13 with a bullet. We'll have to wait and see.
Under the category Supreme Bitch, Diana Ross makes the list of music's 25 most dastardly villains. And for our Soundcheck listeners, you can see the whole list on our website at WNYC.org. You can see my blog. You can leave a comment. And we'd like to know what you think is the most glaring omission from Blender's list. I mean, there are names that, you know, of people that music lovers hate or love to hate. I mean, Michael Jackson, Yoko Ono, Kenny G. I was struck, Mike, by the complete and total lack of Phil Spector on this list.
Well, it's funny you should mention Phil Spector, because we do have a poll at the end of this list. You know, as I think, as you said before, 25 just wasn't going to do it.
But we have this man held a gun to Leonard Cohen's head and shot a gun while John Lennon was in the studio. You got 25 better than that?
Yeah, I would say people, if gun wielders, that's a separate list. Just rock and roll gun wielders. I mean, there are several more we could actually add. And, you know, we try to keep the list separate and maybe gun wielders is not bad.
Okay. What about the bigger question here? I mean, and this is an age-old question is, do we care how good a person a musician is, as long as his or her art is really moving us?
I am not sure. I think that at the end of the day, the music stands for itself, and a lot of the people in my iPod, I really know nothing about at all.
And there are some people on my iPod that I know way too much about.
That's probably true. Perhaps Diana Ross is on your iPod.
We're speaking with Mike Errico, who is the editor of Blender.com, and talking about their list of music's 25 most dastardly villains. And we come next to number 14.
Mm-hmm.
When you say that
now, there is nothing particularly dastardly about the Backstreet Boys, but Mike, the guy behind the Backstreet Boys, there's a character.
Sure, Lou Pearlman. That was plenty of Backstreet Boys, actually, for me, for today, which is great. But yeah, Lou Pearlman, I mean, this came out before his sentence for 25 years. I'd like to say that we were here first. Blender.com, we called it.
So last week, he was sentenced to 25 years in federal prison after pleading guilty to, it's like a Ponzi scheme thing, I
guess.
Pretty much. Cheating investors and banks out of $300 million.
Correct.
So a sleazebag, but a smart one at some point. Knew his way around the business, was able to make... Not just Backstreet Boys, but who else? I mean, he was like the boy band manufacturer.
NSYNC, O-Town, and all that. But I think the really smart ones are the ones that get away, aren't they? I mean, isn't that right? I could rob a bank. I have to get out of the bank.
Right,
That's the problem there. But we actually spoke to Justin Timberlake about that one, and you know, he didn't want to say anything, but he asked what number Lou was, and we told him it was 14. He was like, that's about right.
Now, there are a number of behind-the-scenes businessmen on your list, and who would be surprised, of the 25 most dastardly villains in the music biz. At a surprisingly gentle number 22, because this guy could have been much closer to number one, is Simon Cowell. Now, people hate him, but isn't he the most credible of the three judges on American Idol, in a sense?
He's probably the most credible, which is a separate conversation. But I would also say that he's probably thrilled to be in such esteemed company on this list. I would say that he is shooting for nothing less than number one on this list. I think he enjoys it very much, and he's a great foil for everyone else. He's just a crusher of dreams and a...
But if he's being so upfront about it and kind of in your face about it, doesn't that take away from the sort of the villainy, you know, the subterfuge, the underhand, the sneakiness of it?
I think we don't see that on camera, but we do get it in strange ways, like contracted films like Justin and Kelly, you know, and things that happen to the American Idols as they leave.
So you say we suffer for his art.
You'd say that. I would pepper some expletives.
Okay. Now, at number 17, yet another behind-the-scenes character, and under the heading of Got Plenty of Satisfaction, you name Alan Klein.
Right.
What was his transgression?
Owning Beatles and Stones catalog, finding stars in decline and knowing the value. I mean, you can look at it either way. You can also look at it as, people taking art from artists, and people hate that. People just hate that.
So this guy, as you say, he owned the Beatles and Stones
owns
catalog. Didn't he sell it? Wasn't that the big thing?
I think he still has some of it.
But Satisfaction, he sold that.
Yeah.
I can't get no Satisfaction. That's the Stones don't own it. And they tried to get it back. They unsuccessfully sued to get their 60s catalog back, but he had already dispensed with it. Yeah. So, I mean, this guy is, he also came into the Beatles like at the very end, right?
Yeah. He messed with icons. And no one likes that. I mean, Satisfaction is supposed to belong to one pair of songwriters, you know, and that's, you know, the business is very different than that.
All right. So, you know, when you want to look at a sleazy manager, you guys hold up Alan Klein as a prime example.
Yeah. Not a lot of leverage on the other side of the board on either time of these.
Right. So, right. All right, so we're looking at music's 25 most dastardly villains. Soundcheck listeners, you can comment on our website at WNYC.org. Ted, full name Ted Shred, in Atlanta, says, what about MTV? Only slightly more despicable than Clear Channel in that they retooled music from socially conscious talent into a 99% image appearance-driven Facebook, then piloted youth culture into a comic descent of juvenile sex romps and booty shaking. That actually sounds like fun, but he's
that sounds like a freelancer. I would like that guy's email address. You know, last time I was here, it was for some other list, and I can't remember what, and someone else called up, like, why not MTV? Sure. We have a lot of inanimate objects on this list. Money itself, which you could see MTV as a subset of.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine is one, which allegedly you could say the same. White people is on the list.
Why white people? I mean, what have white people ever done to anybody?
Well... of course, whenever you say something like that, it's incendiary for a reason. Just looking at this list, I would say 90% of them are white. Just consider the exceptions, the geniuses that we don't know, the touring circuits that were black only, the incredible injustice that was given to the creators of the music that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be that.
So,
to be overly heavy for a minute.
So basically, you're saying appropriation, misappropriation.
There's, misappropriation.
Okay.
In a word.
Now, in amongst all the white people is Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Yes.
Now, that was a surprise, I'm sure, to many people when they saw him on your list of the 25 most dastardly villains. This peaceful man, this guru, this spiritual advisor to the Beatles.
Yes.
Mike Errico.
Wait a minute.
What? What is going on here?
There are some Beatles, I think fanatic is too mild a word at Blender. We'll call them fanatics. But in the more general sense, I take that one as the very unsteady relationship between religion and music. I think you have incredible examples of the two mixing. You have gospel music. You have this incredible, you know, many, you can go on and on. And then you have the David Koreshes of the world who are failed musicians and such. And anytime you are a very charismatic leader and you're grabbing the consciousness of musicians who I think are very susceptible, always open to everything, you take responsibility, and where that goes it can be very volatile.
John Lennon actually wrote the song Sexy Sadie about Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and it is not a flattering song at all.
Sexy Sadie, what have you done? Sunny day, the world is waiting for the lover.
from the Beatles, Sexy Sadie, a song, sort of an oblique reference there to their spiritual advisor of the time, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Mike Errico, he is on your list, Blender's list of music's 25 most dastardly villains. The story is that he fooled around with George's wife, and ironically, George was the last to ever cut ties with him. Yes. Speaking of husbands and wives, there are a couple of them on the top 25 as well. The husband from hell, you call him,
yes.
Ike Turner. So, I mean, this guy, you know, notorious wife beater, drug addict, died of a cocaine overdose in December, and yet the music industry seems to continue to love this guy.
Well, we have him on number two, so I don't know how much love that is. Boy, talking about just, I mean, Tina Turner. You have to just to understand Ike is to deal with Tina. I mean, just such an icon, survivor, and I remember watching the Angela Bassett movie, "What's Love Got to Do with It," and just watching that take on a it was like a clarion call for others. It was for a movement. It was, I think, as a result, Ike gets. Gets number two for a good reason.
Yeah. And
that's before all that.
But after all that, NARIS, the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, gave the guy a Heroes Award. And that's you know, in the face of lyrics like this. I mean, this is Ike Turner's song, "I Don't Want Nobody," in which he says, "I can do bad all by myself."
I said, "I don't want nobody. That don't want me. Tell me, why should I hold on if they wanna be free? I can do bad, all by myself. I can't, I know how. I can do bad, all by myself. I'm gonna do bad. Don't need nobody's help."
Ike Turner, "I Don't Want Nobody," from his Grammy-winning "Rising with the Blues." The music industry loves him, but he's at number two on Blender's list of the 25 most dastardly villains in the music world. Just before we get too far away from Maharishi, who was at number 19 on the list, Gary in Manhattan writes, "The charge that he was taking advantage of female devotees, which resulted in the Beatles leaving the ashram, turned out to be a lie fed by a jealous Beatles hanger-on. George Harrison years later apologized to Maharishi." Get your facts straight. Unfortunately, he then goes and cites Wikipedia as the source.
There you have it.
but still, you know, so there are two sides to every story, including perhaps the story of Tipper Gore.
Sure.
Who is... if not the wife from hell, certainly the wife who, you know, has made it possible for us to buy albums with stickers on them.
Yes.
All these years.
She legislated morality. That's what she will be known for, I believe. And that's, the ramifications are so far reaching. I mean, it's just such a huge, it was such a huge moment.
This was the PMR, the Parents Music Resource.
Yes.
Whatever the S stood
C.
for.
Yeah. Or whatever.
C or whatever. So you still, we're still feeling the aftershocks of that, even though that was back in the 80s.
Yeah, well, she saw her daughter listening to Prince's Purple Rain, and then she freaked out, and then she talked to Al, and then, you know, they got this thing together, and now they stickered records, and there was a complete circus of a trial, and Dee Snider is up there with Frank Zappa.
And John Denver.
Yeah, and they're talking about, you know, are we now going to label things with a J for a Zionist, you know, undertones, etc. And you know, Zappa always has a point. He just never says it right. Maybe it's the mustache. Maybe it was the mustache.
All right. The list, the full list, is on the soundcheck page of our website at wnyc.org. Music's most dastardly villains. Mike, before you go, the music news today, Universal Classics getting into management, Sony selling off photos from its archives. Just real quick, what do you think?
Yeah, man, that is crazy. It is crazy because
It's like interviewing the man who rearranged the deck chairs on the Titanic. Really, it's a body eating itself. And if you look at the Bowery Ballroom, I'm sorry, the Bowery address of the Morrison Photo Gallery, it is 313 Bowery. If anyone knows, any rock fans will know, that is the old address of CBGB's, mm-hmm. where these shots were taken and where artist development began. And now they're selling these artists off for parts.
Mike Errico is the editor of Blender.com. Mike, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
And still to come on Soundcheck today, our CD picks, and then later, find out what happens when old-timey music and Chinese folk songs spend some time together. We'll have a live performance from Abigail Washburn and the Sparrow Quartet. This is Soundcheck.
Bien,